And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, to fear here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Bangor, Maine, is where we are now. And we're going to be here, and we're not really stuck here. It's a nice place, and we're doing a lot of work and getting things done, making templates and signs everywhere, But the Love Bus probably won't be ready until in the next week. Maybe. Damn it. But, you know, we're making do with all our goodies here. We got, the studio set up in the basement of our good friend Derek Slopey. What we're going to do is we're going to be talking to Max Egan. Now, of course, Trump Report in third hour, Dr. Frank Tamburi in next hour, get caught up on the news. But Max Egan has been a good friend of the show because he sees what this is really about. It's a spiritual battle. There's a they, them, those that are... I for decades, I never really used the word evil. And I think it was Max that said, wasn't it you, Max, that said evil backwards is live? Or, you know.
Oh, a few people have said it. A few people have said that, brother.
It kind of struck me. I'm going, damn, that is so damn. Max Egan's a radio host, political commentator, activist, world traveler, author, lecturer, philosopher, and from New South Wales, Australia, where things are getting funky. We'll talk about that. And he studies a lot of government corruption, ancient history. Is kind of ancient history, government corruption kind of go together. And he's working on his next book. Well, tell us about that. His webpage is thecrowhouse.com. Thecrowhouse.com. I know I've asked you that before, where that came from, so people can remember thecrowhouse.com. Tell them where the name came from, will you, Max?
Oh, look, it's a long story. I used to be in a game clan with my son. It was the only way I could see him, and he named me Scarecrow, and the website was opened to basically hold all my artwork, and it became a truth portal. It's just the way it never planned it. It just happened that way. So,
thecrowhouse.com. What would they get? They go there and they start. A good supporter and friend of mine said, I just had to meet you when we were at Anarchapoco one year. And, oh, yeah, Max, I got to see Max. And say, Matt, you get to touch flesh with Max and old Max. And then started listening to your shows and everything. I can see why. So how's your popularity now that you can't travel or nothing? You know, can you travel?
No, I can't, man. We can't even leave the country here. Australians aren't allowed to leave the country. You've got to get special permits to go. They're talking about opening a travel bubble with New Zealand. It's ridiculous. We've got travel bubbles between states here. It's absurd, man. They've locked us down completely. Well, you know, we're not too bad where I live. I haven't really noticed the difference. But in places like Victoria, it's just out of control. They've had curfews and all sorts of stuff in Victoria, so... It's coming everywhere. It's a worldwide thing. I would have been in Peru had I gone overseas in February the way I was supposed to. If I hadn't broken my foot, that was a trip, man. Like, I was supposed to go overseas, and I got flooded in. All my friends were telling me, no, don't go overseas. There's something bad going to happen. And I'm like, I'm going anyway, you know. And I got flooded in. I've already figured out how to get through the floods. So then I broke my foot, and I couldn't go. And if I had gone, I would be in Peru now, and I'd still be locked down. And they're terrible conditions in Peru. So
You know, Josh Sigerson from World Alternative Media is Canadian, and he went to Canada, and he's stuck. They got him under lockdown, quarantine, 2 weeks of you're not allowed. And it's jail and money and all kinds of stuff. If you leave, you're not doing it right. This is we've been kind of lucky during this whole thing. We've kind of ignored it, and we just go in, no mask, and nobody says anything. I think I wore a mask once to go. I had to go into Verizon, you know. Other than that, you know, it's been not a thing. And it's not that a lot of people aren't wearing them. There's fewer now. You won't be the only one in the store. But they really haven't bothered us. You know, it's some places require you fill out a tracing form to go to the restaurant, and I think it'll decline, you know, and you just leave. Well, there has to be some kind of an impact. But the purpose of this, Australia is going hardcore. There, you will comply. Gosh darn it, we got a uniform and damn it, and a horse and shields, and we're going to make you, and you're not allowed. And I'm wondering how the people in Australia are taking that. You know, what is their mindset on this?
Oh, everyone's pretty annoyed about it, but they're complying out of fear. I mean, it's only really in Victoria that it's like that. Only really in Greater Melbourne.
Fear of
not
what?
Not even in regional Victoria. Fear of the police. The police are brutal. They're absolutely brutal. They're walking around in black Kevlar with body armor. They've got automatic weapons. They've got helmets on, batons, shields. And they just come in and they just walk over you. And they don't even discuss it. They just grab people and drag them off and take them away. They make it as brutal as possible because they want to discourage anybody else from doing it. So, yeah, it's been pretty outrageous in Victoria. We've seen laws in Victoria, legislation that's been introduced that you haven't seen since Stalinist Russia, this sort of stuff. It's ridiculous. Yeah, just next-level stuff. They've been under curfew for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks. They're under curfew, only allowed out of their home 1 hour a day for exercise, not allowed out after 8 p.m., can only go 5 kilometres radius from their home. Disgraceful stuff. And it's been like, I think they've lifted the curfew now. But it's just disgraceful what they're doing.
Well,
define
the curfew. I heard that it was like you had to be in and a curfew at, I don't know, whatever it is, 7, 8, 9 o'clock or something, and you can only drive so far from your home. If they catch you, which they want to catch you, you know, are they making, is it a monetary thing? Are they making money on fines? Are people paying it? Is people challenge it in court? What?
It's a $1,600 fine if they catch you out breaking curfew, if they catch you more than 5 kilometers from your home. People are challenging it. I mean, they're not legal. The fines aren't legal. Even when you look at the Biosecurity Act, what they're using to introduce the fines and give out the fines, they're not even following their own regulations. So most people challenge them in court, and they're getting the fines dropped. So they can't really go through with it. None of the stuff that they've done is legal. That's the problem. They've just kind of rolled it out. None of the so-called laws they brought out have actually gone through Parliament. Daniel Andrews is just acting on Tater. And unfortunately, a lot of the people are going along with it. The curfew has been like, you know, you're not allowed out after 8 p.m. at night until 5 a.m. in the morning. You can't be outside. No one outside. There's a guy who went outside to put his rubbish out, and the police caught him outside putting his rubbish bin out, and they come and attacked him and beat him up and fined him. And, you know, it's ridiculous sort of stuff. So that's what's been going on in Victoria.
I wanted to have this conversation with you. We talked to a gentleman, friend, you may have met him at an Acapulco. Barry Kerwin and his fiancée Emma are from Ireland, and they've gone to at least two or three Acapulcos, and they actually go. They go to every single one of the presentations they can. It's like a study trip for them, and they just felt alone in Ireland, and they've been doing a lot of the kind of research that you do and so on the relationship between Ireland and Great Britain and the laws and where they came from and originate on property rights and so on. And they find out the same thing anybody that challenges to find out. They're doing it illegally, unconstitutionally, and breaking the deal, and they don't care, you know. So they're given the response of what's happening in Ireland. And I thought Ireland was, we're going to be doing a bunch of signs. Oh, I'm going to talk to you about that. Signs in Australia. Yeah, we're going to do it. Do it, do it, do it. Well, I want to talk about what, you know, the resistance and the culture and being a man. And Australia has a reputation, doesn't it? Used to. We're going to find out. Max Egan, when we come back in just a little bit.
Rhodes. It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, Max Egan from Australia. You know, Dixon, I got to ask Max. You know, what I wanted to get to, we'll get into the censorship and stuff here directly, but there is a reputation America has had for rebellion, resistance against authority, or at least questioning it, or give me a good reason or something. In Ireland, you would think they're kind of the same. I mean, they went up against the most powerful, as America did, you know, known empire on the planet at the time, the British Empire, and they're, no. And then Australia was founded by convicts shipped off to this big island of, we'll just send them down there. And then as time went on, they built their own culture, they got their own country, and that gene got, I don't know, vaccined out, chemicaled out, fluorided out, something, you know. And when you stand up and be a man and have some commentary on the spiritual battle and who and what, and you're banned. So that's two questions I want to make sure I get your response, Max. Is one, you know, where did the men go? You know, that this take care of business and a standard of, you know, what's acceptable and not. And, you know, that's why we call this show Declare Your Independence, because in there, the proper role of government's defense of individual rights. It doesn't do that. It's time to alter, abolish. It's your right, your duty. And in the presidential debates, right behind them, they had that quote, the right to alter or abolish. It was behind them. And I'm going, what? Nothing is by accident. And I'm thinking, is it a riot? Is that how they're going to do it? You know, alter, abolish with some fire or something? Is that what they're trying to say? What's going on here? And then that culminates in you're being censored. So let's talk about that first, and we'll get into the man thing. But I'm a woman. You know, a woman is just a man with a womb. I mean, you know, get some spine here. And they're the ones that determine everything, you know, who they breed with or whatever, unless you're in Viking, you know, conquest or something. But I'm looking at the censorship of you. Tell the people the stages that you've gone through and the things that you've tried and been banned off, and, you know, to what extent. Go, Max.
Oh, look, I've been completely deplatformed from YouTube. I had three channels on YouTube. I had my main channel, which had over 230,000 subscribers, over 26 million video views. They deleted that channel, just no warning at all. Then I went to my backup channel and they deleted that. And then I went to my backup channel and they deleted that. I've been deplatformed from Facebook. All my profiles have been removed from Facebook. Deplatformed from Spotify, deplatformed from iTunes. 153 News, I opened a channel, 153 News, and they deleted it. They sent me back an email saying, is this the real Max Egan? I said, yes, I deleted the channel before I uploaded anything. So, yeah, I've been censored. Now I'm on shoot. I'm on LBRY. I'm trying to get uploads to brand YouTube, but I'm having a little bit of difficulty with it. And 3Speak, a few other places like that. I mean, you go to thecrowhouse.com and you'll find all the links to where I'm still around. But it's getting more and more difficult.
Where do you post it? If I go to watch a Max Egan video, where am I taking it from? An MP4 on your site? Are you putting it somewhere else?
You're getting it from BitChute or LBRY. If you go to my site and you click it in the radio archives and you click the embed on the page, you're getting it from BitChute. So that's where I mainly like to be.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stop my video. The bandwidth is starting to go a little bit. Go ahead and stop the video. We're recording the audio. And that's another thing, you know, the great interviews that I have, you know, the people and everything, yeah, the internet, we go to the second hotspot, another hotspot. We go to the, you know, it's just the bandwidth. They, oh, he's talking to Max. No, hell no, you're not allowed. But the BitChute is, I know these guys, we've, you know, covered it going through. We've used them before. It's just another collective. I've seen this before. YouTube used to be BitChute. It wasn't Google. You know, and then again, gets bought up. You know, everything, Instagram, WhatsApp, it's Facebook. And then, you know, it's a consolidation. And they will as long as they can. And I'm, so BitChute has been pretty good about, you know, stuff going over. What, did you read their terms of service? Is there a BitChute can delete you if they want thing?
Look, they can, if you break, they do have terms of service. You know, they can delete channels if they're breaking, you know, guidelines. I mean, you've got to be at some sort of a line if you're going to have medical stuff uploaded there. If you're going to have a no censorship platform like BitChute is, and you have people uploading like genuine terrorist videos or genuine snuff movies or child porn or something, I mean, you know, you've got to have an option to be able to get rid of it, obviously. So, I mean, yeah, they can do that. But I found them to be pretty good. I've had a pretty good relationship with them. Whenever I've had trouble, I've emailed them and they've got straight back to me to fix the problem for me. I've never deleted any of my videos on YouTube and banned all sorts of other places. No problem on BitChute at all. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a good platform. It's a lot of attack at the moment. It was a hit piece that I read about how BitChute is a hotbed for hate and terrorism, you know. And
is it monetized? Does BitChute produce revenue?
I don't know. I don't use revenue through BitChute, but I think there may be a way to do it. I'm not sure. I think you can probably hook up crypto wallets or something. You can produce revenue through FreeSpeak and through LBI. You can create cryptocurrency that you can transfer out. FreeSpeak's pretty good like that. Open a Hive account and you can do that. Hive's the same as Steemit.
And what about Patreon? So, yeah, I mean, are you a Patreon guy?
I've got a Patreon account. That's the only way I'm able to get donations at the moment is through Patreon. I'm wondering how long they're going to keep that going.
Yeah, they banned early on Jordan Peterson on that one. This is an all-out attack. And do you think the they, them, those are concerned that you're just not going away?
Yeah, they are. I mean, but that's why I don't post videos to Patreon. A lot of people say, hey, you should post your videos to Patreon. And I say, well, if I do that, Patreon will ban me. They'll look at the content and they'll just go, no, we don't want it. And they'll ban me simply for posting a YouTube link or a BitChute link on their page. So I just leave it. The Patreon's there for people who want to support the channel and want to support the work. And they understand the supporters that I have, understand why I don't actually post to Patreon, because they're just banning everybody left, right, and center. I mean, they set all this up last year with the Christchurch shooting. They brought in all sorts of regulations right around the world over that live stream shooting, which enabled them to be able to do exactly what they're doing now. You know, it's all part and parcel to the same thing. That's what people aren't understanding with this. It's all part and parcel to the same thing. What you're saying about the men disappearing, I mean, this has been done through the manipulation of the food, the alpha states and stuff that people get lulled into on the TV. The fluoridation in the water here is out of control. I think that's what does it to a lot of the men here. And just the mental programming. Like you say, this is a spiritual battle more than anything. And what's been done to us spiritually over the last couple of generations, men have been taught it's bad to be a man. It's bad to express any type of emotion. You know, it's bad to ever show any wholesome, righteous anger in the face of things that deserve that.
Okay, this is the line that I wanted to go. We're going into break. I apologize. We'll be right back with Max Egan. This is where, you know, what's happened to us as a species, you know, and by whom and why. Why? Nobody asked why. So what if? We're going to find out. Max Egan's going to help us understand, as he always does. We'll be right back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Max Egan, Independence Declaring County individual in Australia. And we're showing him some of the signs and the stuff that we do. And I'm really and trying to encourage Max to come up with his own phrase and design and so on. And certainly we'll show him how we did it, you know, from up here in a video and make them and then ship them to him and get them. And, you know, let's do it. Because I really want to see this kind of activity and just an expression. What happens is an expression of defiance, and people just join up and they come together. But I'm finding out with Facebook, which a lot of people communicate with, is an echo chamber. What they do is they keep it regional. They don't want anybody else to know, yeah, you're talking to your 50 friends and you think you're all popular in that, but it's not breaking out of a control grid. And this is, we were just getting into what I wanted to have Max finish on, is the, what is considered, you would think it would be universal, you know, that, you know, to be a responsible adult, a man, a woman, you know, is what? And Australia, you would think, would be kind of, you know, self-reliance down there, out back of the Crocodile Dundee, I know how to find water of whatever, make a fire or something. Is that gone? What's the rep that you think, how Australians see themselves now?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much gone with most of the country. I mean, it's still there in the outback, but in the cities it's gone. Australia's heavily fluoridated, you know. The alpha male has been bred out of society. People have been taught that it's bad to express yourself. And, you know, the problem is that people will step outside their moral compass. They'll tolerate wrong behavior in order to abide by a law or legislation, which causes them to, you know, tolerate wrong behavior. I mean, right action, it's just missing from our society. That would solve everything. Right action from people. People may think things inside, but they never really say them. And they're scared to pop their head up, you know. So, and we have tall poppy syndrome here in Australia as well, which is pretty disgraceful.
Yeah, what syndrome?
Who, too big in their boots. Tall poppy syndrome.
Tall, you know, poppy? Tall poppy?
Yeah, we'll hack you down. Australia is disgraceful like that. I mean, Australians will really support the underdog, really, really support this little go-getter. And then as soon as he makes it to the top, he starts getting attention, he's a tall poppy, they want to hack him down, you know? That's the way it works in this country. It's terrible. I mean, we used to be a really staunch country. You know, you put the Anzacs on the front line in a war because you don't mess with the Australians because these guys are really staunch. But that's just gone. It's been bred out of our culture.
How long? How long a process did it take? When did it start, you think?
Oh, look, it started, I think, back in the 50s and 60s it started. Same as it did in all of our countries. It started in the 50s and 60s. When they introduced television, they've trained people what sort of society they want them to be. You know, people have lost all their life skills. Now, the losing of life skills is really the losing of your manhood. How many men know how to go and actually go and fix a fence or go and, you know, do what men do? How many men know how to go and build a house, how to hunt and support their family? How many men can keep their women out of trouble and keep their women safe and out of harm the way men used to do? This just doesn't exist in the world anymore.
You know what's going to happen? I can see this. It's going to be when it comes down to fundamental take care of me instead of Big Bubba send me a welfare check. When you have to depend on men and women have to depend on themselves because they can't find any men around, it's just like anything. The women will determine they're more influential on guys than some government program. When they start demanding manhood, they'll probably start getting it. You know, and so I put it on the women. You know, quit, you know, reinforcing this wimp. Oh, he's sensitive and hadn't kind of, you know, you know, so I think women have a big responsibility in creating men.
Well, yeah, they do, but they've been trained not to. Unfortunately, women, again, have been programmed through the television. They want a man who's able to support them financially and able to give them the type of lifestyle they want. That's all they care about. You know, they see a man as someone who can succeed in business. They think business runs the world. You know, we've lost that real humanity. We've lost that soul to our humanity. We're becoming more and more dependent upon the system, and that's what this whole thing is doing now with this big reset that they're doing off this coronavirus. They're going to completely eliminate the middle class and get everybody on the point of starvation so that the only thing they've got to look after them is the government. So you get a whole new nanny from the government, and that's where everyone will be turning to for help, you know. And what they're going to do, I mean, they're going to introduce this new financial system, very likely the quantum financial system, which will replace all currencies right around the world, and every single transaction will be traced. And it's going to be the ultimate slavery system that they're creating. And it's happening because there are no men that are standing up to what's going on. Nobody's actually standing up for it. I mean, they've closed all the states. They've managed to completely shut down the United States, lock all the borders down, put most of the people out of work. Like, how many people 30 million people out of work or something in the United States. 60% of the businesses that are closed will never open again. People have been put under house arrest. Borders have been closed. And not a shot's been fired. Nobody stood up to it at all. You know, everyone, you know, all the men in all the countries that were to be out there fighting in the trenches and now sitting at home with masks on, cowering from this little invisible virus that no one's ever proven exists. It's pretty freaky when you look at the world. I mean, who would have thought a year ago that this is where we would be now, you know, 1 year later from what we were last year? I mean, the whole country here in Australia is on fire, you know, at the beginning of the year, way, way, way back, ages, eons ago in January, you know. So,
what do you mean on fire? Do you mean literally on fire or?
Well, we had all those incredible fires here in Australia at the beginning of the year. We burned like, you know, 2 billion acres or something. We had 1 billion animals burned to death in these fires, the most horrendous firestorms we've seen in years.
Were they natural occurring or were they naturally California type occurring?
Oh, they were naturally California type fires. They were so contrived. It was absolutely staged.
But the fire stopped at the Canadian border, though.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that with all the fires. They're not going to Mexico either. At least they're responsible fires. They're COVID compliant. You know,
right.
They can't go crossing the borders without passes, you know. They don't want to be spreading the virus.
You know, there was a popular video, it was a three-minute segment. He spoke to a county board, a gentleman named Carlos Zapata, we're trying to get on. And it was just a guy, a business owner in Northern California. And he goes up and he did a three-minute look. You know, we're being nice out here. We did a couple of weeks of compliance just to, you know, kind of be, you know, good guys and see what's up. But now we know this is all crap. And we're out here starving. Our families are suffering. And, that, you know, you think this is just going to be able to do this forever for us. That's not going to happen. I went to war. I'm in Iraq. I did this, did that. And I've seen what it's like. And you don't want it. It's kind of like, you know, Benjamin Martin and Mel Gibson's The Patriot. He goes, you know, you want peace, but our children will learn of this war, you know, out their front window, you know, kind of thing. It won't be on some foreign battlefield. And this guy got a lot of attention just expressing what so many feel. And I'm wondering when that happens. When's the trigger? When it's like, no. You know, it's total resistance and even violence. I don't know what the trigger is. What do you think that might be?
Well, I think it may be when the food chain completely breaks down, which is what's happening, which is something that's going on in the background that most people aren't noticing.
Yeah.
And the amount of food that is not being produced, the amount of food that is not being harvested. I mean, in the United States there, you've got whole crops being plowed into the under, you got whole livestock farms being slaughtered, abattoirs closing. We've got abattoirs closing around here as well. Same as in Canada. They've closed the main meatworks that supplies all of Western Canada. So, it's happening right around the place. And that's what's going to happen. And that may be the trigger.
That's the trigger. We're going to find out. We come back. Max Egan, talk about this very thing. Tell you, inflation's starting to hit. You know, it went from $10 a sheet of, just chipboard plywood to $25. You have $2 2x4s been around for 20 years. All of a sudden, they're $7 now. You know, that there's inflation. You go to the grocery.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Bar-rum.
I want to break free from your lies.
And I'm covering the secrets and exposing the lies. Okay, I'm sending this to Donna. Donna, I'm sending the link. Go ahead and put it in the first hour for today's archive so people can see this. Now, Max Egan, we have on. Thank you, Max. He sent this to us, and he goes, take a look at this. It's World Economic Forum Strategic Intelligence. You can do a search on that, and it'll come up. But what it shows you is it gives you this this wheel. It's kind of like a brain map, like we see over at tragedyandhope.com. And you go through this wheel, and it's COVID-19 and how it affects everything. I mean, it's like hundreds, and it goes layers and layers and layers deep, and it's a plan, and it's called the Great Reset. And have you gone through this, Max? They're reset to what?
Well, they're reset to a completely new financial system. See, the plan is to crash all economies so that their phoenix can rise from the ashes, and they openly admit this. The head of the World Bank, or the International Monetary Fund, said recently that we need to crash everything, and from that crash will come a new system. And what they want to bring in is the quantum financial system.
Well, what does that mean, quantum? What do you mean, quantum financial?
It's a digital currency. It's a digital cross-platform international monetary system. You'll be able to trade between nations. It's being presented as the great reset to get rid of the control that central banks have over the world. It sounds really right. Good. Gold-backed currency, all this sort of stuff. This is what they want to do. They want to mint 1 billion gold coins, 100 billion gold coins, 100 billion silver coins, and then them to all have digital counterparts so you can have a coin or part thereof. And that will be the world economy, and every single transaction will be traced. They want to trace. They want to be able to barcode every grain of rice, every grain of wheat, every single thing that's grown, every slice of meat, everything. They want to know where it goes, who traveled it, where it's traveled to, who sold it, who bought it, everything completely transparent, all done digitally.
You know, the first...
And all based off...
I want to reinforce that. Our first Freedom Summit, 2001, a security guy, Stu Crone, he was the big security guy that protected Intel. So he's a security guy keeping, you know, Intel manufacturing digital secret from outside. So he big on security. And he was saying, look, let me tell you what they're doing. And he'd go on in details, and it evolved in what he said, which came down to the Internet of Things. They don't track a Coca-Cola can, or it's a, you know, we know this is a Coca-Cola, or this six-pack. Every single individual can of Coke has its own ID. This is, they take a van, they go through the neighborhood, and they just scan your pantry, and they know everything you got in your house through RFIDs. And I'm going, whoa, damn. That's it. And they go, oh, but that's so that we can just automatically Amazon order what's missing out of your refrigerator and build to inventory of your pantry. And we love you.
So they can track everything. They can track everything. See, what they're doing, people have, when you think of the world, people have to stop thinking about governments and nations. And you ever seen the movie Network back in 1976?
Yes.
Remember that speech near the end when he says there are no countries, there is no China, there is no America.
There's only an international corporation and ecumenical, you know.
It's one holistic system of systems. That's what it is. And that's what we've got here. You know, you think of each nation basically as a franchise. And what they're doing is they're working out a system whereby everything is uniform. They've been incubating it in China with the whole social credit system. China is leading the way with AI and social crediting. You've got all these mask-wearing Chinese people. They've been wearing masks for ages in China. They're always doing it. You know, so they've perfected the system over there, and now they've got to create a backstory to be able to bring it out to the rest of the world. Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to introduce a Chinese work ethic in America and have people social distancing, wearing masks, and doing all of this stuff? Well, okay, you do the great Make America Great Again policy, so we bring all the industry back home. So what they've done is created all this codependence over years and years and years of international codependence. Then they shut borders down, so it all crashes, crash all the economy, remove the middle class, impoverish everybody, and then offer them your solution. We'll bring all the industry back home. We'll get you all working in the factories with the Chinese work ethic, all tracked, all social crediting. This is how they're going to do it. Under the guise of this pandemic, they've been able to introduce this Chinese system. And people will see it. Oh, it's the Chinese one belt, one road thing. It's China, Israel, Iran, all Russia, all working together to take over the West. That's the way it will be presented. But no, it's all one holistic system, and it's happening in every single country.
You know, and you highlighted, you pointed this to it. It's weforum.org. You know, World Economic Forum, so it's weforum.org. And on here, strategic intelligence, if you search for that, it comes up. And it has, you know, all insight areas, and they talk about different manufacturing and so on. But the highlight, top four issues, they have, you know, a graphic here. And you put COVID-19, Green New Deals, vaccination, values. And what scared me the most, I mean, you know all this stuff. I'm going, values? What the hell? What do we talk about values? So I click on values, and they want to what is and is not important. It's programming of what you're the way of thinking and the media and the socials and the whatever the hell they got to do. And they have hundreds of these and layers of how they're they're sitting here telling you how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
the
is.
The common and when, good.
And like I said, and when, like I said, when you watch the introductory video, for this whole plan, it says that this is a plan that has been 50 years in the making. Okay, so people really need to think about that. Like I said, back in the, when you asked where it started before, I said, oh, back in the 50s, yeah. There you go, you know, when they introduced television and they got us all going in this direction. So, yeah, it's freaky when you look at it, and it's all-encompassing. And the way they're going to do it with this new financial system is any country who doesn't participate, who isn't compliant with this system, will simply be locked out of international trade, and that's the way it's going to be.
Okay, look, these are the five main things they have on the value deal. This is just a sample. Valuing digital equity, whatever the heck that means, trust as a value. You got to trust, you know, digital identity. You got to trust, the corruption issue they got to deal with. You know, it's trust as a value. Valuing human dignity, the common good, valuing the environment. I can see valuing the environment, the common good, human dignity, trust as a value, digital equity. I mean, these are, wow, who thinks up this stuff? You know, and they're replacing the culture. This is what I'm talking about. Where's the individualism of the whole purpose of government is defend, you know, my pursuit of happiness, to leave me aloneism? These issues and values have been discussed, written about, wars fought over, revolutions for centuries, and it's all being wiped out for their common good of whatever the heck they, them, those say it is. And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. to what end? Just control?
Absolute control. Absolute control over absolutely everything. There's even a section there on aging and how to adjust the youth's concept of aging. You know, think Logan's Run. They want people to live till they're about 30 years old. It's not cool to age. We don't want that. You know, leap
carousel, 30 years old, you got to go through carousel, which is, I don't know, a disruptor beam of your dead, like a Star Trek episode or something.
Yeah. This is the sort of stuff they want to lead us into. And even when you look at the vaccine, what they want to do with this COVID vaccine, which is going to modify people's DNA. It's an RNA vaccine, which is actually one of the markers that they're looking for is chromosome 8. And when you look at chromosome 8, it's what governs human intelligence. And also governs a good deal of your health system as well. People with chromosome 8 deficiency are kind of similar to Down syndrome people. Not as bad as Down syndrome, but you know, a little bit learning impaired, you know, not too bright. So that's the way they want people. That's what one of the things that they're introducing a vaccine into your body, which will cause your immune system itself to attack chromosome 8 in your body. I mean, this is insidious. Wow. The level of evil that these people have and the level of control. You know, I've been programming this into us. Think of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You've got the beautiful elite, and you've got the little goblin like that. That's what they want. That's what they're doing. And over a period of generations, it only takes two or three generations. That's what they're going to get.
Lord, we got to do a long form, no commercial interruption, break, bank, Max, Egan, Knight. If Donna contacted you, we can do a podcast next week, you think?
Yeah, sure, bro. We can do that.
Yeah. Let's plan on that. Donna, get a hold of him. Make sure he has to get up at 3 a.m. or something. Anyway, it'll be like, I don't know. She'll work it out with your schedule, so it's not too bad. But we need to have a long conversation. Max Egan, he's got a beat on it for you. TheCrowHouse.com. Why he's being banned, deplatformed, demonetized, dehumanized. You'll see why.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines,
And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
We may not be afeared, but we are relatively concerned about what? You know, they got a plan, man. You know, Max Egan, you know, you knew they did, but, you know, to see it. This is, you put in what I searched is World Economic Forum Strategic Intelligence. The plan's right there. They'll tell you exactly what they're doing. You know, this is, it's a wheel. You know, it's kind of, I recognize these kind of link. You know, to a link. And brain map that they have over at Tragedy AND and Hope, tragedyandhope.com, Richard Groves' information that he has there, that you know something about a family and you link it to all these different. But he uses Wikipedia a lot, which gets changed all the time. So, but here's their own documents, their own. And the one that kind of struck me, the top four that they're highlighted things that they're working on. One, COVID-19. That's going to be their, you know, platform. They're going to be riding into the sunset here. Green New Deals. So it's got to be environmental kind of thing. Vaccination. I got to throw vaccination up there at top. New, vaccinate. Ooh, get some. And then values. The top four things. COVID-19, Green New Deals, vaccination, values. This is the World Economic Forum. This is the plan. Well, the value thing, I'm going values. That this is kind of what I'm talking about. You know, what's, and of course, we use cookies and assist with, and kind of we got to know who you totally accept. You want to look at our plan, you know, we got to make sure you see the plan. And if you did see the plan, we want to know who you are that saw the plan. You know, you're a planner guy. So, the common good. What the heck is that? A common good. Already I'm scared. You know, so you look on the values and it'll have things like environment and natural resource security. Circular economy, whatever the heck that is. Banking and capital markets. Corruption. Future of economic progress. Financial and military systems. Wow, the common good, financial and military systems, common good. I'm scared. Yeah, social innovation. All right, social innovation. I want to see that one. What are we looking at, social innovation? Let's see. Corporate social innovation, impact investing, government role, socially minded entrepreneurship. Well, that screams. All right, what are we looking at here? Public, private. Yeah, see? They got a plan, man. This is, and I tell you, I recognized this in the mid-90s. It was after environmental movement got going really good, and you start hearing the phrase, there were a bunch of watermelons, green on the outside, red in the middle, you know, which means communist, right? So this is what they were warning us of when I was younger. I was in my 30s, and they're just, oh, we can tell you what the future, here it is. Now it's just in this. Socially minded entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs got to be socially minded first. You know, a lot of times, this is where you have entrepreneurs, a lot of them, the CEOs, you know, have a little bit less empathy. You know, and they're attracted to, you know, hey, man, I'm just going to do it. We tell you about the common good. The common good is you're lucky I give you a job. I'm building it. You don't have to work it. You know, I'm going to make widgets and, you know, because I want to make widgets and for me and my family to make widgets. You don't want to make widgets for me? Oh, you're not getting paid enough? Well, this guy will work for that. You know, it's a free market. That's what gave labor unions their power, is we had such a vibrant economy in the 50s after World War II. It was manufacturing, rocking and rolling, whatnot, and employers were in need of employees, and they had the power to collectively bargain because they needed their work. But then they kind of get morph into government supported. Now, this is in Arizona. They have what they call a right-to-work state. You can't require union membership. You can't have a closed shop that only union members can work at. Even, you know, you become a teacher and they, you know, browbeat you in the submission to join the union and all this kind of stuff. But it's a right-to-work state. So when they start trying to organize fast food workers, which they have, you know, they try and do this kind of thing. There are a bunch of federal laws that you have to be forced into negotiation with collective bargaining. You're forced. Now, some states you're not, some you can. You know, federal law, we got unions. And they go, nope, you got to negotiate with, we had a vote, and kind of you have to, it's not your. See, they think as a laborer, and when I would go into forums with the labor unions running as a candidate for Congress or legislator or whatever, you know, I knew these guys. You know, I was an activist. I go, hey, Ernie, hey, I do a peace out, and I got the plumbers and the, you know, because they had a big IVAW, whatever that stands for, you know, big labor unions of labor unions, you know, and they would have a big forum that candidates come in and they'd interview you. You'd have the plumbers and the HVAC guys and the ductwork guys and the electrician guys and the whatever guys, the guys and the, you know, the teacher, whatever, all these unions there. And as libertarians, we'd always say the same thing. You know, I go, look, man, we're your best friends. And what? I go, yeah, absolutely. You can, it's your labor. You can do whatever the heck you want. You want to collectively, you know, come together and negotiate for what? Yeah, we're first in line to say you can do that. Where our difference is you can't force the employer to negotiate with you. Hey, get a job to somebody else. You better have some skills. You better be the best people. Better be something because, you know, it's not your job. It's your labor. The job belongs to the guy that created it. The employer made the job. That job ain't yours. Your labor is yours. That is what you have control over. And you do not want to get in a situation to where your labor is not yours. That's slavery. And that's what's coming. You have to this, you got to that, or you're not going to get your something. You know? And I'm going, all right, well, I don't want it. No, you have to have it. You got to make it. And then they tie it into health care. Oh, you're not doing your social credit score of you're not allowed and you don't get an aspirin. This is how revolutions are done. And all of this complexity, that's why life, you know, the simplest system wins. It's just, you know, put material in here, product comes out there. And how that's done is incentives and what best serves the individual is doing that stage. Everyone acts in their own self-interest or what they perceive to be their self-interest. And that's what they, them, those are doing is changing in your mind what you perceive to be your self-interest. It is in your self-interest, your self-interest, if you wear a mask. Not only because of the disease, because of the hassle you get, because of the looks you get, the social pressure, your peers, a guy with a badge and a gun that's got you down on the ground and handcuffing you for taking your kid to a park. I mean, you know, this is, you know, it's always what you perceive to be your self-interest. But what happens when critical thinking comes in and you start to see that it's in your self-interest to not comply? Well, when do you kind of go, you know, dang it, you know, you're a fly. You're laying on the couch, you're relaxing. You're watching the football game, drinking a beer, and that fly will not leave you, will not allow you to pursue your own happiness. Oh, what's going to happen to that fly? Get out of the house or get under my boot or something. Yeah. Last what? Feeling a logo, a sign, a meme coming up. Fly swat. Yeah.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back. This is, Donna put up this article, and it had a video of this gentleman, Carlos Picada, that just went before Board of Supervisors, and I saw an interview. I didn't finish it. It was like an hour and some. Donna listened to it all, and I'll try and get to it today while I'm not working, but They interviewed him, and he said, yeah, I'm a business owner here, and a lot of the people were starting to complain, and they went down to the county board of supervisors, and they were lined up like 80 deep. And he's just like, I can't. I got stuff to do. I got people waiting for me at home. No. You guys, you're going to the front of the line. One of the organizers there, the protest, I guess, and they just shoved them in there, and, you know, everybody's outside. You go one at a time, it looked like. You go to talk to these board members sitting there with their mask on and so on. And the impact of it, he went to the governor and said, look, man, you got to help us out. We got to open up. We got to do something. The people are getting restless. This is, you know, I don't think you understand what's going on here. Well, this gentleman, Carlos, you know, he just went and he said, say what's up. You know, this is, I knew in the beginning, if you go back, I was saying, yeah, I think people give him 2 weeks. Yeah, just, we'll take a break. You know, we'll just have 2 weeks. We'll see what's up. You know, I want to see, you know, the bodies stacked up like cordwood, and then, you know, I'll believe you. Well, that's not, now it's not even deaths, because there aren't any. You know, it's all cases. And they test, you know, a wood chip, and it comes back COVID positive. Tanzania, I think it was the leadership there, president, you know, prime minister, whatever. They sent in, God, it was something like a papaya, a peacock, and a goat or something like that, and they all came back positive. He's going, see, this is all crap. You know, that doesn't get any attention. When this got put up, I got a call. I didn't even know it was there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes up, comes to us from a lot of listeners and readers and everything, and, of course, what we go search and what Donna does, and this got up, and I got a call from a woman. How do you get hold of this guy? We need help, and we need to talk to him, kind of, you know, kind of, how do you? And I watched it, and I'm like, you know what? I think we're going to hear from him again. You know, somebody's going to be talked to. Well, I'm going to play it for you. It's only 2 minutes, 19 seconds. Let's go ahead and hear what he had to say.
I wasn't going to speak. I was asked to speak here, you know, Sheriff, good to see you. I'm telling you guys, you know, I'm pretty appalled at what's going on. You know, at first we sat as concerned citizens and we all wanted to figure out how to best navigate our way through this whole COVID thing, you know, and, as we realized that it's not quite as dangerous as we thought it'd be, you know, I was absolutely appalled and cowardice, you know, and as you're sitting there with your masks on, I don't blame you for wearing masks because I'd be hiding my face too if I was you for what you're doing. This is absolutely horrendous what you're doing to these people. I'm a business owner, and I'm telling you, our families are starving. You know, you guys can sit here with your jobs, you can sit here and you're going to get paid, you can fall asleep in your chair like that gentleman's doing behind his mask right there, okay? And I'm telling you right now that right now we're being peaceful. And you better be happy that we're good citizens, that we're peaceful citizens. But it's not going to be peaceful much longer, okay? And this isn't a threat. I'm not a criminal. I've never been a criminal. But I'm telling you that good citizens are going to turn into real concerned and revolutionary citizens real soon. And nobody else is going to say that. I'm probably the only person that has a balls to say what I'm saying right now. That we're building, we're organizing, and we'll work with law enforcement or without law enforcement. But you won't stop us when time comes because our families are starving. And if you don't hear the seriousness of my voice, I hope you open your ears and you absolutely listen to what I'm saying. Because this is a warning for what's coming. It's not going to be peaceful much longer. It's not going to be rah-rah. It's not going to be speeches. It's not going to be gathered outside saying a Pledge of Allegiance. It's not going to be waving flags. It's going to be real. When you've seen the things that I've seen, I went to war for this country. I've seen the ugliest, dirtiest part of humanity. I've been in combat. And I never want to go back again. But I'm telling you what, I will to save this country. If it has to be against our own citizens, it will happen. And there's a million people like me, and you won't stop us. Open the county. Let our citizens do what they need to do. Let owners of businesses do what they need to do to feed their families. Take the masks off. Quit masking and muzzling your children. The psychological damage you're doing to them is horrible. I've had 6 friends kill themselves since it's happened. Veterans who lost their jobs. How do you feel about being complicit and perpetuating that? The greatest hoax ever perpetuated on the American people, and you're part of it by wearing your masks. In Shasta County, we're supposed to be red country up here. Not blue country, we're red country up here.
Yeah. What a lot of us are thinking, you know, some of us are preparing for, and, you know, a lot of the times people, I didn't have a, all right, let's talk about the gun thing. I grew up with guns. My father had a bunch of guns. I didn't have a gun because they're expensive. Whenever I went camping or I thought I needed one or protection or I'm leaving and Donna's out, I go to my father and say, can I use the and have the, yeah, whatever, here, take a piece and, you know, kind of that, bring it back or whatever. You know, because I had young children and I didn't really feel unsafe, and I, you know, until about 1992, 93. That's when, you know, militia thing was going and a lot of stuff's happening. And we had safe. Second Amendment is for everyone, which started off as a PAC for a concealed, unrestricted concealed carry initiative that we filed in Arizona. That eventually became law like 10 years later. But we kept hammering on it, hammering on it. Oh, we'll give you a concealed weapon permit. No, I don't need no stinking permit. We do a referendum against a permit. I go, they go, oh, I thought you guys wanted. I go, no, I haven't got a permission slip, you know, to defend against the man. Can I have a permission slip to defend against you? It's not about duck hunting. And but it really also wasn't, I didn't see it at the time as against even representatives of the government. It was against the onslaught of poor, starving people that wants to take all my goodies and then my family starve when I prepared. When I have enough stuff, when I, you know, protection of my, you know, home and hearth, I mean, you know, my family. And it wasn't until a friend of mine, we were at a protest, I'm in front, I'm at, you know, talking to the media, I don't have a gun. And I had a safe, Second Amendment for everyone, advocating for this initiative, because I understood how important the gun issue was. I wasn't a gunny, that wasn't the point. Well, one of the supporters, he gave me a Makarov, a 9mm, you know, it was like a $100 gun back then. You're embarrassing. You're killing me here. Here's a gun. And I'm like, okay, thanks. That was nice of you. Because I was poor. I had other uses for my money. But it wasn't because I didn't understand the right. And then it started getting worse. And I'm going, yeah, we need to. And I realized that it was the Brady Bill happened, and they were starting. I go, all right, here it comes. And that's when the mass purchasing of guns started. It was right after the Brady Bill. Then the Clintons came in. They did the crime bill in 94. They did, you know, whatever it was, 95, 90. You know, here it comes. That's when we started gunning up. Well, I need this, and I need that. And it became an investment. I buy silver, guns, what, you know, what's the difference? You know, lead, silver, you know, it's all the same to me. So, I'm going, okay, well, people needed money. You know, they go, yeah, I mean, you want to buy my gun? Yeah, absolutely. You know, what do I care? Here's some silver for that, and you can go change it in. Kind of, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me. You know, silver's easier to haul around, but, you know, you need some guns. So that is why I didn't. It wasn't because I thought I was going to be battling the man. I was going to be battling people that were running from the man. You know, trying to feed themselves and stuff. But we are armed up. The whole country is. There are more hunting licenses than in America than all of the armies in the world, and they're all snipers. How do you think this is going to end?
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Donna has found Carlos Zapata. They had the name wrong on the original one, so she's able to contact him now. There was an interview someone found him. They went to, I guess, his place of business or his home, and they're interviewing him. And I'm just going to play a couple of minutes of this interview, and this is what's coming. And it's everything that I realize. I know American people, there are millions, maybe not 330-something million, but, I mean, there are millions of people that just aren't going to give them a little bit of time, and then they see what the agenda is. So let's just play a couple of minutes of this interview, and you'll kind of see what I mean.
Absolutely. There's so many different facets to this. Like, when you, say something like COVID, you could be talking about a whole bunch of different things, like, yeah. Okay, is this a virus, or the response that the government's had, the financial impact it's had, the social impact it's had. Mm-hmm. I mean, this feels surreal. This feels like a really bad dream.
It does.
In a short period of time, everything went chaotic.
Really fast, too.
Yeah, really fast.
Really quickly. And who thought it'd be this prolonged? I mean, like I said, when it started, it was a two-week deal, right? We're going to flatten the curve. And the whole idea about flattening the curve was that we would free up beds in the hospitals in case our hospitals got overrun. Well, that never happened. Our hospitals here have been open. My wife works at the hospital. You know, my sister does as well. They both work at Mercy, and they'll tell you, that there's plenty of beds open, you know, and the beds that are taken up right now are not because of COVID, you know. But you hit on something, you know, we were talking about the economic impact, you know, on businesses, you know, and our communities. That's huge. And I think that is the, that's where the conversation has to really start and end, in my opinion. And I say that because I'm a business owner, of course, you know, but we cannot kill an economy over something that might be dangerous, you know, because it's definitely proven not to be as dangerous as they originally thought. I mean, by the news, you would think that you'd be walking down this river trail, there'd be people just keeling over, right? Every 10 feet, people dying from this thing, you know, and that's just not the case. So
the data that's coming out is, it's all over the place, but, you know, when it first started, it was a pandemic,
yeah,
and it's fear. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't know. Mm-hmm. We've all watched Contagion. I mean, yeah, all you got to do is spend a little time with Hollywood and Netflix, and you're sure scared of everything.
Absolutely.
The boogeyman's everywhere.
Yeah.
So I get it. At first, I was like, oh, my, you know.
Yeah.
But as the data has poured in, it's shifted from medical data to political data,
mm-hmm,
right? And so it's much more, much more like this has become weaponized in the political realm. And then it's flowed over into the entertainment realm. And we're seeing, like, all these various movements, all these various things happening where they're trying to, like, latch on to this COVID, the energy, the angst, or whatever you want to put it, that it's creating. They're latching on to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful, because it seems like now, for lack of a better way to put, the good, or what I think the good, is starting to latch on it, too. Because to me, it was the bad. It was the protesters, looters, riots, burning, saying, you know, they had some justice, some social justice cause, and that was going to be served by burning a business down.
And the social justice warriors have latched on to this, right? They've capitalized on this whole COVID thing.
Big time.
You know? But think about it, you know, without chaos and without fear, their agenda gets nowhere, absolutely nowhere, right?
Of course.
They have to create a problem, you know, they have to create chaos and confusion in order to create that fear that they need, in order for you to say, hey, I need a savior, right? We get to the point where we're so scared that we need somebody to save us, and here comes the government, right, marching in with the cure, right, with the antidote to this whole thing. But that's not the case. I mean, like you said, as data has poured in, we know a lot more than we did some time ago, yet our measures have become more draconian. Our regulations have become tougher and more firm on businesses, you know, and more suffocating, you know, to our communities. But no, this is crazy. And I never, I mean, if you would have told me, Joey, a year ago that this would happen, I would have called you crazy. I would have said, there's no way this would ever happen in
America.
It's
a bad movie.
You know, it's a bad movie. And it's not only that, it's how easily people ate this stuff up, you know. And that's what appalls me. It almost angers me that people would just eat this up. I mean, as we're standing here and people going by, and some are wearing masks, some aren't, it's crazy to me. You're in the outdoors and you're wearing a mask. Why? You know, what's that?
Oh, I see people driving down the street alone in their car with a mask on.
With a mask on. That is a sick kind of conditioning. I mean, you've
that's
been,
a phobia.
You've been conditioned, you know. It is. It really is.
And this is, you can go watch now on Freedom's Phoenix. And the title is, what's it called? All Redding - Carlos Zapata. And the whole point is, he represents, I think, America. You know, men, business owners, are going, look, we did it your way. You know, this is, you're lying to us. They go, yeah. So, we got a law. And in some country, and you have America, a lot of people, they keep thinking of America. Well, this is where all this, you know, historian buffs and, you know, conspiracies, you know, they talk about whatever, come up with the idea that, you know, you need to look at the history. It's small United States of America, the United States of America. The states, with federalism, is that you have, you know, the federal government was there to protect the borders. We, you know, none shall pass. You guys, you know, we got an army to keep the other armies out, and we'll take care of it ourselves down to the, you know, local level. You know, the counties, the states, and they are autonomous. And that's been, you know, blurred and blurred and blurred and blurred. We got to have one ring to rule them all. And I remember when Lord of the Rings came out, and that was kind of the concept. A lot of memes come out of that and so on. And it was, you know, Sauron created these rings. Oh, we got so many for the elves, so many for the dwarves, so many for the humans, so many for whatever. But they got one ring to rule them all. And you want to see the ring. And, in fact, they put it in a circle like a ring. You know, you go to today's archive, we're October 1st, Thursday, 2020. You go into the archive with Max Egan today and the Trump Report, and at the bottom of Max Egan's bio and stuff there in hour one is the link to this, the plan. You know, what's the plan? We Forum, the World Economic Forum, so it's weforum.org/strategic-intelligence. Now, you just go there and you can see it, and they even got a video and such, but it's, you know, strategic intelligence. And as you look at it, it's a wheel. And it drills down hundreds of pages. You go, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. There's a plan. This has been in the works for, like, ever. They have a plan. How are we going to implement the plan? What do we need for the plan? We've got to have a plan. And it's got to be global plan for everybody. And top of that plan, mandatory vaccination. Love Bus Liberty Tour. That's where we're going. And we're playing with the mask thing and the, you know, shutdowns and getting people to show that there's resistance and kind of have a positive wave. I want to see your smile. Liberty hat wears no mask. You know, it's kind of, you know, we're not threatening anybody. It's just, you know, it's a mindset. You know, it's just showing some resistance. Take the mask off. You know, this is, it's a sign of the, you know, Star of David. I mean, you know, it's going around in 30s Germany of I'm a not complier, you know, or branded as enemy of something. This is, and what do they then those see as the biggest enemy? Autonomy. Independence. That's why, you know, declare your independence. It's really easy to do. You go, I declare my independence. Done. It's a mindset and no government form. I'm not filling out anything. I'm just, I'm good. And then what are the decisions that you make? It's wallet voting. It's where you spend your money. It's who you spend your money with. It's what you spend your money on. And educating the next generation. Well, they've got your children. They're on, you know, whatever next platform of, you know, this TikTok thing, I haven't been paying too much attention, but it's like, well, it's controlled by the Chinese government, and they're getting all this data on, and I go, you know, hell, they just buy it from Google. Are you kidding me? You know, it's like anyone's going to, you got to get off. Create your own. Your own what? Community. Does it have to be online? Not necessarily. You know, you may use the online to find the guys in your neighborhood. You know, we're going to survive as a community. And then people in the cities want that kind of community. They see it. So what do? They move out. Then what? I don't know. All the mayors and politically connected start buying everything.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And you got to do it with me. That was one of the first questions I got when I started doing radio. And declare your independence. Do I got to do it with you? Can I do it by? Good point. I declare my independence. See, done. You don't need me to do it. No government form or nothing. Now, on that, there's a video on this. It's only 2 minutes, 26 seconds. I want to play it. And this is the World Economic Forum talking about their charting that they're doing and what their emphasis is and how they're going to. This is the plan. And I want you to just listen to the words and the code phrases and how they're going to, you know, it's of course, it's all wonderful and we love you in a long time and the future is and we got to be in control of it. Why? You know, this is called these decisions and all these complexities and so on. You can't central manage. You can't. It comes from the fundamental principles of people acting in what they perceive to be their own self-interest. And in their self-interest is honesty. Transparency, you know, voluntary cooperation with other entities, you know, other people, you know, I value your silver more than I value this widget, you know, and you value the widget more than you do the silver. That's why everybody says thank you. You have a transaction. Thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I got what I want. We're all good. Free market. Done. Then you start getting the incentives come in. Well, you need to buy this one over that one because of a social credit score of environmental, blah, 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 whatever the hell, reason, law, monopoly, support of we going to make you. You know, and this, you're not allowed to shop there. You're not allowed to buy that. I mean, you know, and they want you to give up and allow your decisions to be managed on a global collective scale. And this is how they have it mapped out, and they're saying, look, you just come over. You want to know, it's right here. Max Egan pointed it, here it is. And I saw it with Smart City stuff that they're doing in Arizona. And Patrick Woods from technocracy.news, he and I called him and I said, look, all this stuff you've been telling, here it is. You want to know where it is? Here it is. One of the things that they had in there is they had a whole section that was on how municipalities are to fund all this control. Fee this, fee that, tax this, permit, done, how you're going to gradually eke out more money and more resources from the people so you can spend it, dummy. I've been told that by Laffer, the Laffer curve. I mean, why all these little tax, the max revenue for the government? What about max freedom for me? Well, so we can spend it, dummy. You know, I'm flabbergasted at a presentation. It was a, you know, a Cato, Coctopus, you know, Goldwater Institute thing. And that's when we severed our relationship with. We were promoting a lot of their events. I said, no, I see where this is going. This is planned. Everybody's in on it. You know, because if you're at the top, yeah, it's just how you're going. We're going to use this liberty bucket of influence and votes to get what we want. Oh, okay. Well, you guys, let's see how that works out. You go ahead. And that was, I didn't understand why they were so, these guys did not like the Ron Paul campaign, and certainly not the Levolution. And it wasn't until I had conversations with people in these different think tanks, and, you know, I knew who to talk to and go to dinner with, and kind of, you know, what's up? And they go, they're angry. They're like, how the heck did you do this Levolution thing? They didn't see that coming. It's not in their control. You're not doing it right. It's not getting the approval of. It was a spontaneous order, organic thing of the people. And that's what's coming. And guns was always at the back of this thing. The right to defend you. The right to not have someone else's will imposed upon you. Certainly unjustly, without any rationale. So there's 2 minutes. How much time we got? Yeah, let's go ahead and listen to this. And just see if you can pick it apart.
How are artificial intelligence, migration, and education connected? How can boosting innovation, reducing inequality, and combating corruption help us to achieve the sustainable development goals? In an increasingly complex world, these connections can be hard to see. Yet a systemic understanding of global issues is essential. The World Economic Forum developed strategic intelligence as a set of cutting-edge digital tools to explore, understand, and anticipate the forces driving transformations around the world. At its heart are the Forum's transformation maps. They depict and analyze the interdependencies between a wide range of topics, illustrating how developments in one area can impact others. By drawing on the collective intelligence of the Forum's networks, transformation maps explain the factors driving change across industries, economies, and global issues. For example, by disrupting every aspect of technology, the fourth industrial revolution will have a profound impact on governance and affect the scale and character of conflict. That will test the traditional role of governments, even as they confront other challenges such as the aging populations in advanced economies. Transformation maps cover more than 200 topics and are available in multiple languages. Each topic is defined by its key issues, the most strategic trends shaping that topic. Because we are not looking at topics in isolation, but instead at entire systems and transformation, we highlight how the issues depicted in one map are interdependent with other maps. The content is continuously updated by leading experts from the Forum's extensive network. It is supplemented by a machine-curated feed of the latest findings and analysis from top universities and research institutions, and is enhanced by technologies used in machine learning, artificial intelligence, and advanced network analytics. The platform also incorporates economic, social, and political data, as well as time-lapse satellite imagery, allowing you to visualize trends in areas such as sea level rise, deforestation, global trade flows, and the refugee crisis. Strategic Intelligence is the World Economic Forum's most advanced knowledge resource you can use to navigate today's increasingly complex and interconnected world.
World Economic Forum. So what does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. They're trying to control everything. They think it's technocracy. This is exactly what they're talking about when they say, if we had enough data, if we could control everybody's everything, we could do it right, whatever that means. It's not about your individual freedom, which was the whole purpose of the American experiment. That was the point. It's not about that. It's about they, them, those being in control of the individual, which is everything that we were about not doing. It's because of a faith in chaos, a faith in, you know, motivations, a faith in free market capitalism, or hell, just free. I don't even call it capital. What the hell? I had capitalism my entire life. It's free market. It's the agora, you know, agorist hosting. You know, that's what all our stuff is on. You know, it's Derek name, you know, agorist hosting. You know, you can pay up front in crypto. They don't know about and bite me, and we don't censor, and kind of, you know, it's a philosophy. It's an attitude. And you see this across the spectrum. I tell you, one of the things is we advertise on Freedom's Phoenix. You'll see ads up there for PPM Cosmetics, Silver Mike. You know, when we had a lot of the health stuff was coming, I'm going, yeah, this silver thing is going to be of importance to a lot of people. And there you go. Just go get it. Oh, you can't say it helps anything. Oh, it's cosmetic. Yeah, I put a lotion on me, and guess what? I don't have any of, you know, these blemishes or anything anymore. I do. Oh, okay. You know, I got a little toe fungus. I got to go buy the whatever, and it's apple cider vinegar. Changes the pH. Oh, that does it? Seriously? You know? No, you got to go buy this from that and kind of, you know. There's so many of these little things that we've lost this knowledge. When you start to emphasize it and getting off of this grid, you start to see simple, cheap solutions. And a lot of it is just getting enough sleep, not worrying, get out some fresh air, and eat a freaking vine-ripened something. This is control. This is trying to contain Jell-O with rubber bands. And they'll just, we'll just need to add another rubber band. And a rubber band, and a rubber band, and a rubber band. All of a sudden, you don't have anything dynamic. You put a shell around, and you got a golf ball. They're just trying to turn the world into a golf ball. You contain it enough, and then, you know, sooner or later, you get critical mass in the middle, and boom! Critical mass be a coming. Then what? I don't know. I'm past knowing. I knew we were going to get to this point. I knew we were going to be tested because we allow it. Because we're good people. They take advantage of the goodness in people. They see it as a weakness. They don't understand righteous indignation. When it finally gets to the point to where you go, I have to advocate for something else. What? Individual liberty. Self-responsibility. That was a slogan on our first political sign in 94. The whole county of libertarians. Individual liberty, self-responsibility. Vote for the libertarian. Why? Individual liberty, self-responsibility. That's coming. Are you going to be for it or against? It's coming. It's coming.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock. It's Trump Report. Trump Report time. Dr. Frank Tamburi. We did a couple days ago. We did the we watched the debate. I want my brain cells back. And then we had the long conversation. And you guys listened to the conversation that we had after. I thought there was a lot of good observations there and so on. But of course, you listen to talk radio on the in the car, and you get the left version, the right version, and you know their guy won and kicked the crap out. We all lost. But Dr. Frank, we're going to get the spin of the spin on what it gave us. All right, Dr. Frank, spin us, man. Go.
Spin. Donald Trump kicked butt. He dominated the entire night. Country saved. Is that pretty much what you want to hear?
I was going to hear.
The Kool-Aid version?
Take another sip of Kool-Aid. You know, we had a listener and friend in Arizona. His wife made a cup, and it said Trump Kool-Aid was Frank's coffee cup on the show when he'd come in. It was Trump Kool-Aid coffee cup that Frank had. I mean, that's how it was, you know.
That was great. I used it every morning with Donna's coffee, so that was great. So first off, yeah, obviously I said a lot of this on our after show special, so guys, check it out if you like. We had a great team on that. A couple things. First off, yeah, I was disappointed in the whole night. I was like the rest of you. It was interesting because some of the people who I know, I won't mention names, but just, you know, friends and family who are not into this as much as I am, they didn't think Trump did that bad during the debate, which was surprising because I was the one that was just hanging my head down going, oh, Donald, just zip it for a minute, you know. I was also frustrated with Chris Wallace, the way he was handling things, although not because I was being defensive of Trump, but just because, and we'll get to this later, but just the way that he was missing so many opportunities to really communicate with both parties. You know, he kept getting so hung up on the so-called rules and to come off as if he's a real journalist that he was missing the opportunity to communicate, because Joe Biden really is slow and he's a puppet of what he doesn't really know exactly what he's saying. And he's just whether he really has a wire under him or not, it's another story. But can you hear me?
Yeah, go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So either whether he has a wire or not. But on the other hand, if Donald Trump, let's just be honest, the guy's brilliant, but he is not articulate. And I'll talk about that maybe some other segment about some points to that. But the thing is, you know, Chris Wallace had an opportunity to try to bridge that. You know, like when so if comment is brought up, don't just shut it down because of a 2-minute issue. Or if Donald Trump's trying to make a point back and forth, maybe shut the president down for a second, but then repackage what the president's trying to say. I mean, hell, he works for Fox News. He's certainly aware of what his point of view or propaganda spin anyway is. And then have Joe Biden actually answer the question, the intention of what Trump maybe is trying to say and what the people on both sides, the audience, is trying to really hear a response to. And vice versa. But the thing is, Chris Wallace just completely blew it, and both sides, of course, yelling at him. Granted, you know, it's not a good spot to be in when the country's about to kill each other, and Chris Wallace is sitting up there. I'm sure nobody liked his job. But overall, though, I was frustrated with the thing. I did have fun, Ernie, watching, because we're doing this on Zoom, and although my family, some other people thought it wasn't as bad as I was thinking, and of course, we weren't able to talk much during the show, but I would look at the Zoom and see Ernie Hancock on the video. And as the night went on, Ernie, man, your head was literally in your hands. You were staring at the table for like half of it.
Pain! It was pain!
You on antidepressants. Oh, it was hysterical to watch you. We kept watching you just hang your head. And I was like, you know, my buddy was feeling, I could tell just by looking at you, I was feeling the same way, and I think much of this audience. Ultimately, I will say I was a little frustrated afterwards for a lot of things. A lot of things to quote unpack, as the lingo goes, for the show. I was surprised or dismayed at first at some of the propaganda on the right. Some of the shows and channels that I listened to, I was surprised how much they went into rah-rah mode. People that I don't expect to do that, people I trust their opinions, and they don't just take up the Trump banner. I was surprised how much they just came out, Trump dominated, and he did X, Y, Z. I was a little surprised with that, honestly. I mean, Fox News, of course, you expect that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some others I'll mention offhand. But at the same time, I did watch quite a bit with CNN and MSNBC. You know, I had to take some stiff drinks to do that. But I watched what they have to say. And bottom line is some of them actually thought Trump won, but they thought he won simply by, you know, talking over and dominating. I think the bottom line, as we finish the segment,
did I lose you? Frank. Ah, I lost the signal, Frank. Frank, you there?
Is that, of course, no one really won, but I think that. Yeah, I'm here.
We'll keep going. To whatever was cutting in.
Sorry. So what I was saying to finish up is, I think ultimately, if you had to pick a winner, I would say it's Donald Trump, but not.
Fox. You know, this always happens. The man doesn't want Frank to express himself because he expresses. You know, Dr. Frank, go ahead and
for the reason that you think it's because.
Yeah, call Frank. Call back. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and just
call back.
Yeah, redo the signal, because they're being butt heads. I'm wondering, people that never ever even heard Trump. They just, orange man bad. And I've been through this before in the 90s when libertarians in Arizona were really having a big impact. They wouldn't, report what you said, recording it out of your mouth. They would have pictures of you talking and then tell the audience what you said, and it wasn't what you said. So we were making a big – that's why these debates – might be the only time someone on the left has even heard him even speak. And maybe they're going, well, yeah. Hey, he was like, they went after him. They were doing, a lot of times this may be the first time they've heard of all this stuff, the impeachment stuff, the Russiagate stuff, everything. It's just been, this election was never really over. They kept their, man, we're going to get for years. And then they do all these investigations. They have a lot of stuff. And you'd think that there'd be some frog marching, somebody coming out. And I'm wondering, we've been trusting Trump and wait on Q's going to tell it to you and whatever. And now I'm starting to see a bunch of things about this Q thing. And they're going, all this Q movement needs to be banned off of whatever. And people are like learnifying themselves and they're not allowed. So I'm wondering what's up with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. They're on both sides. Like my theme from the show, the after show, is that both sides, we've been in bubbles for so long, plus you add the quarantine, we are so divided in our own worlds that it was almost like two relatives coming together after 5 years or 3 years of not speaking to each other, and you're each trying to tell the other your version of what's been going on in your life. And you're trying to blab in 2 minute segments what's been going on. So you've had two completely different experiences. Normally we would be talking about the same news together the way it used to be.
We're going into break. We're not going to be able to hear you, but I'm, there's a lot to talk about. And I think what we're going to do is, I'm recording during the break. We're going to include this one in the archive.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Trump Report with Dr. Frank Tamburi. We've been doing this for 5 years. It's kind of, has it been five? Yeah. It was 15, summer of 15, so 16, 17, 18, 19, so 5 years. Five years. Damn it. Do I have an opinion? Yeah, it's all what I thought in the beginning. You're still voting? You asked me off air, Chris Wallace, what I thought of his performance. Of course it's going to have I'm sure there was going to be some kind of, you know, Trump-leaning questions of whatever. But, you know, Trump is the type that he's not going to get a let him get away with any kind of stack question. He's going to say whatever he wants. You know, he's going to do what he wants, say what he wants, interrupt when he wants, and kind of, you know. And then I loved it when Biden goes, oh, just shut up, man. And then in the beginning, first few minutes, liar, no, you're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, you know, I'm like, this is it. This is what we get. The rest of the world sees this.
But you know, that was a perfect example. When he said, oh, shut up, man, that was what was frustrating him. And I don't know if you remember what the question was. The question was the accusation that the left is planning to stack the courts. And he kept asking Biden, he goes, are you going to do it? And Biden kept squirming around that question. And when he pressed them on it, that's when he said, oh, shut up, man. And everyone focuses on that. And that's another example where Chris Wallace could have shut down the bickering and said, you know, basically, Mr. Vice President, that is a pertinent question. Will you or will you not favor that? Yes or no? It's real simple. That's what a moderator should have done. But instead, it turns into, oh, well, you know, Trump's obloviating and shut up, man, and all the crap. That's where Chris Wallace fell down big time.
No, he gave a big opening. This is good. This is good. He goes, hey, man, I'm doing the moderator. You want to switch? I'd be Trump. Hell yeah, get the hell out of that chair. Come up here. I'll sit here. And I'm debating you anyway. You know,
Ernie, I know this is definitely going to set you off your blood pressure because I have a feeling you haven't heard yet. But they're already debating whether to have more debates. It's up in the air, and I didn't get to finish about why I think Trump really won. I'll get to that in just a second. But because even the left is thinking that Trump won for the reason I will get to, they're now saying that maybe we should not have a debate. But, you know, of course, they don't want to be called cowards about it. So now this morning they're saying that if they have a debate, the moderators have changed the rules, of course, because, you know, we're talking the left here. And therefore, the moderators can shut off a candidate's mic whenever they want.
Yeah.
That's the new rule.
Yeah.
So, that's it'll be interesting to see how that comes across. I mean, already they're not answering, you know, the questions, and they're just going to shut them down. I wonder what that'll look like.
I want to talk about. You know, I don't want to talk about. You know, the Kamala Harris Pence debate.
Yeah.
Kamala and Pence. What the hell is his first name? I can't remember.
Mike
Pence. You know, I'm so proud that I don't know that. Anyway, so yeah, Mike Pence and Kamala Harris up there. These are so polar opposites. You know, a minority woman, a white man, younger, older, you know, totally freaking Antifa socialist of we need to go get some, and Biden's in hell. I was the one in his earpiece, you know, Kamala against Pence. That differentiation between that's going to be interesting.
The demeanor in some ways, it's a watered down flipped universe version of the Trump thing. So Kamala is like Trump, you know, as far as, you know, being able to just talk over her talking over and insults and jabs and call people racist and everything else. And Mike Pence, you know, some people don't like his religious stance on things, but he's really a gentleman. I mean, to the point that he's vanilla and boring. And that's kind of like the flip side of Trump versus Biden. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. But I want to just point out before we go to break about why I think Trump won. And it's really by default. I mean, the point of these debates is to move the needle on people who are undecided and who haven't voted. And right now, between 4 or 5 years of an unended campaign, I mean, you know, to be honest, you know, 2015, 16 never ended. We're still in campaign cycle constantly, perpetually. And so, you know, people have, I think,
I lost you again. Can you hear me? I know what Frank's doing. He's walking around his house because you can't sit down in one place that has a good signal. That's what's going on. You know, Frank, I got you.
By now, and they're already voting. So, like, really, how much are we really changing?
Stay in a position to where you got a good signal. You keep walking around, and I'm losing your signal.
Yeah. All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Stop.
I'm not moving. So the thing is.
That's cutting out again.
I never thought I'd get to this point. All right. How about that? A little better. So anyway, every time I get to this point, they cut off my signal. So anyway, but the point is that it's an enthusiasm issue. Trump has all the enthusiasm, along with other things. Hey, Murray's behind him. History. I've gone over all the many reasons, the 22 reasons Trump's going to win from a statistical, historical perspective, which, again, is tagged on your show. But the thing is, enthusiasm is what Biden completely loses. They needed to drum up enthusiasm from this debate, and they wanted Biden to just, you know, put the fire under people's butts. And he didn't at all. In any case, Trump kept his base and kept the enthusiasm of his base and fired it up more. Biden did not. So at the end of the day, it's really a loss for the Democrats. It didn't do what it needed to do for them. So Trump probably just kept, you know, both sides basically kept where they're at. It's a draw, but the Democrats know they're going to lose, and therefore a draw was a loss for them. That's the bottom line.
All right. Hunter Biden getting money. I'm looking this up. I do fact check on whatever. Examining Trump's claim that Hunter Biden got $3.5 million from wife of Moscow, ex-mayor, and then he got barista money, he got this, he got that. And going, I'm reading through this thing, and they're not saying it's not true. You know, they're saying, well, it comes from a report of them kind of gobbledygook and get down to the buy, I don't care. You know, but we did have Biden say it's not true. So is it true? It's not true just because Biden said it wasn't? Well, what's going on there?
Well, the whole Hunter Biden thing, I would say it is. Everything I've followed with it, it's true. And, you know, the left just wants to keep diverting that topic. And you notice that was every time that Joe Biden would switch from these topics and not address them. You know, the issue about Antifa, is Antifa a hate group or not, right? Would he denounce Antifa and Black Lives Matter? And he says, oh, Black Lives Matter is just an idea. They don't exist. You know, he wouldn't make that claim. And then he tries to get off topic real quick, which, you know, you expect.
He said Antifa is not just an idea. It's a concept. It's a lifestyle. It's a something, yeah. You know, and it's right. This is organized. I mean, when you have something simple, I saw a graphic of the California wildfires and, you know, Oregon and Washington. I mean, there are fires everywhere, and they all stop right at the Canadian border. And I'm going, that makes you go, Well, I'm going, a lot. But they didn't talk about what I wanted to hear. Trump could just kick his butt on a couple of simple, simple concepts that he can't utter. Why? We're going to talk about it when we come back. Dr. Frank Denbury, Trump Report. 5 freaking years, man. Oh, my God. It's the same thing over and over and over. We're going to find out when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Denbury on Trump Report. You know, what I was looking for and I was hoping to see is one time, once, have a vision of a principle of a guiding ethos if I think this, that, and this is how we get there if we're going to, you know, in America and free. That was never it. Neither of them would denounce any institution that couldn't be used to further whatever the heck they wanted. That's the problem. You know, I don't care what they're doing with the shiny badge. It's a shiny badge. Get rid of that. You don't got to do it. You know, so this has been, oh, the economy this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to manipulate in the Federal Reserve of kind of and stock market. They go, yeah? Well, it matters with the 401k, and it matters with the value of the yada, yada, yada when he's not even addressing inflation. Inflation, check this out, Frank. We're up here having to buy some wood for some projects and doing different things. $10 chipboard that you buy in bulk, you get $8, is now $25. A $2 2x4s have been from $1.79 to $2.12 for like 20 years. A 2x4 is over $7 here. I'm going, you know, how's it at the grocery market? Yeah, it's a hell of a lot more expensive. And I'm going, every time I go into the grocery store, I'm like, what the heck? Yep, I think I'll buy another bag of beans. You know, so this is going to hit. And it's hitting now. And I'm wondering, no articulate. They can't. Trump can't. What's he going to say? You know, we shouldn't have a Federal Reserve. We should, you know, legal tender laws should be open, you know, doing the Ron Paul thing. Hell no. These are tools for his favor, keeping the stock market up. Oh, it's the fastest recovery of this great, outsquitted, arguing numbers, and the fact checkers go up and say, because, I don't care. So what do we care about? What would you have come out of Trump's mouth in if there's a next debate? I mean, what would you look for? Make you happy?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I was talking earlier off the air with this, and I would agree. I think it's time after 4 years of being president that it's not just the defensive. I mean, we put Trump in because he was the attack dog, the bull, and to go into the China shop and start just disrupting the establishment on both sides. And he's certainly done that. He's exposed the media. They're collapsing. There's, the whole Democrat Party is going to have to be if they still survive after this election, regardless of whatever happens. The Democrats and the left and the media is going through a whole other change. But I think especially with how many lies and deceptions they've spent 4 years or 5 years on this president, and Trump now is defensive. I said that on the after show. Trump does not do well on the defensive. He's an offensive creature. And the way that these debates are set up, the fact that, of course, now he is the president, so he has to defend his record, but it's defending against countless lie upon lie upon lie, and plus a media that will cut him off. So you almost can't even play that game. It's kind of like trying to talk to some of your liberal friends, and the minute you even try to engage in some kind of discussion, already we're having two different worlds. I mean, if you try to bring up Clinton's emails at this point, the left just thinks you're bonkers, and they're thinking you bring up ancient history. They have no concept what
because
you're even talking
about. Because he can't defend it against his own. He goes like, they'll say, blah, 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 and he goes, I'm tired of the Say the about whatever it is, philosophy of your
point. Exactly.
I don't care.
Add the fact he compounded that he's not articulate, and he's all over the map, and there's so much that he's seen, not to mention stuff he can't talk about that he. So you've got all of that. Yeah, 2 minutes and confrontational news hosts. I think, to your point, Ernie, I just wanted to set that up, that I think it would be more beneficial at this point, especially with the town hall coming up with average Americans supposedly, around him and the controlling of the mic on him, is to switch, throw everyone off guard. It's like Rocky when he goes from his right arm to his left arm because the guy's a southpaw and he kept it a secret. You switch to being optimistic. Because I've often compared Donald Trump to Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan was the optimist in chief. He talked about the shiny city on a hill, things like that. That was Reagan. I mean, a lot of these concepts. And for him to say, look, it's going to be tough, kind of like what you talked about, but I see a new future. I see how this country can be together. I can see maybe about economic reform, which he's not going to get in Fed Reserve as much as you guys want to hear it. But he can talk about like the optimistic speech he gave with Elon Musk. I was talking about as far as vision for the future and the space industry and privatization of space and going to Mars and Elon Musk and all sorts of things. I think if he became optimistic and showed a vision of where he's trying to take America, that would surprise and shock people. The left would not know in the media how to even handle that. And I think after 4 or 5 years, it's time he starts switching to that. So that's a great point. I think that would
The next debate, I need to know the kind of format you're talking about. I'm looking it up here, and it was supposed to be at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and the president of the university goes, nope, we can't do it. We're not doing it. We don't want to do it. And guidelines of safety of COVID no. And okay. So now it's going to the Adrian R. Center for the Performing Arts in Miami. So they're going to be doing it. All right. And what's the format here? And that was one thing. You see all these people, Ivanka, and his kids, everybody's walking in with their mask, and then they sit in their 6 foot apart chairs and they take their masks off. It's so theater. I'm looking for leadership. Screw you and your mask. When's that going to happen?
Ernie, the worst part was when it was Joe Biden's wife came on stage and kissed them with the mask. I mean,
what?
You really think that Joe Biden, they kissed her or whatever, and she came up to him.
After the debate? Ah, he's cutting out again. Damn it. Frank, got you. Got you. Frank. All right, I'm going to hang up on him again and have him come back in because...
With the math, they both...
There you go. All right, you got to dial in again, man. Come in again. Yeah, with the mask. I didn't see that one. Let's go take a look at that because are you kidding me? Jill Biden kisses with mask. Well, that'll tell you everything. Kisses with mask. All right, there he is. Let me go and admit him again. All right, I got you there. I'm looking at Jill Biden kisses with mask. I want to see that. So I'm punching that up. And
hello.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Stay. Okay. So which is one at the debate she did or what?
Yeah. I think it was like right before the debate, if you were seeing the pre-show or whatever, she came up to him. It was either before or after, but she went up to him and kissed them with the mask. And that, of course, talked about theater, like you're talking about. The whole thing's a fallacy. I mean,
Yep, she's going up there, and Melania and Trump standing there without masks, and then she goes, "Yeah, man, that is just so wrong. This is what we got to look forward to. We got to have a president that's all about theater." I'm like, vote no.
The minute that they're not there, of course they're home.
The minute they're not there, what?
Yeah, no, that's just crazy. That's crazy. So what do you think? What do you think Trump should do first time?
What for the next? Well, what's the format? I mean, how are they? They're sitting in chairs.
It's a town hall.
What
it's
the hell
a town
does that
hall
mean?
Format. Let me what that means. That was created with Bill Clinton to his strength. Usually nowadays, tradition is that the second debate of the three is a town hall, where basically you have candidates in a circle with surrounded by pre-vetted Americans on 50-50 of each side, and then they stand up and they read their questions to the candidates. You don't remember that?
Yeah, but they also would do, social media off the screen, or they do it. But then if they're going to have a town hall meeting, how many of the people are going to be wearing masks? How far apart are they going to be seating? How much theater I got to put up with?
Yeah, I bet you that'll be part of the negotiation. It's like how far
I'm
apart,
waiting for a leader. Who's going to come up and say, screw all y'all. Y'all lying sacks of snot, and we ain't doing it anymore. Where's that guy?
Well, I think it's Donald
or girl.
Trump,
one thing I am encouraged by is it looks like regular people are starting to go, man, I'm running for Congress. These guys are freaking stupid. Out of self-defense, I'm going to put my name up and hat in the ring and go around and I get to talk. What the hell? Then they're going to find out how election laws really work. Then they'll figure out why. Let me tell you why. So. We'll talk about the Texas congressman and their little video they did. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I suppose we're going to bring that up. Excellent.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Well, Frank Tambury, Trump Report, and he's back again, maybe. I got two bars and 4G, so I don't know what whatever. The man does not want us to speak.
This is an odd day.
Well, you have the town hall meeting, and I remember this. They have chairs. They'll sit up there and kind of yak it, and I'm waiting for Joe Rogan to moderate. That'd be awesome. So who's going to moderate the second one? I don't know.
Well, I have no idea, but it's at the same time. I said the last.
Wow. We keep losing. This sucks. It's one thing. When we get the Love Bus back, we have all these boosters and everything in there. That's going to give us a lot more capability. But I don't know what the problem is. It probably is there or they, them, those. I mean, that happens. When you have the town hall, there's going to be questions. Of course, they select the questions from the audience that they want asked and, whatever form. I'm wondering how they're selected, how the people. A lot of this is contrived way before. This is all negotiation. Who gets asked a question? How many questions? And then the one thing that I'm always fascinated by is that from a left perspective, they'll have people that ask questions. but the questions are so telling of their philosophy. And don't you think that, you know, cancel culture should target white privilege of kick their butt because we decided what say you? And you go, well, hell, man, the question itself is so revealing of the mindset that a lot of these people have. So Kamala Harris and Mike Pence, am I looking forward to that? Yeah, we have the next debate is October 15th, which is 2 weeks. And by then, there's a lot of early voting already happened. You know, this is a thing, this is the trend going forward. And it's so much opportunity for fraud. The way it used to be was you would go in a small precinct where the, you know, gray-haired old lady sitting behind you probably knew most of the voters. You know, they knew the people. And God forbid they ask you for an ID or something, you know. And you go and you vote, and then they would count them there, however long it took. And then you'd have all sides and interested parties were allowed to go. Now they're not. They arrest you and so on, even though the law says that. And you count the ballots, and you go, okay, we all agree, we sign up, we all watch each, everybody kind of, you know, it was a 1,000, 2,000 if we went through and checked and the numbers and hashed and kind of, and boom, there's a number. To me, and we did an initiative in this in Glendale, Arizona, an initiative that was the official tabulation, and that was checked with a computer recount. You take them, go, yeah, we counted them. You take them, you go run them through the computer, and then you compare. You know, is it the same? You know, did it validate it? The computer validated the actual vote of paper. That's not what's happening. Why? Well, they go, oh, it's a speed. We need to have, you know, fast and fast and fast and fast. And in the early 90s, they connected the lines from the internet into the counting computers in Maricopa County that went straight to the World Trade Center to where the media report of this is who won of whatever. Hardwired into the counting computers across the country. As county chairman, I created a document and said, no, hell no, we don't want this. We're going to sever this connection. And my counterparts in the Democrat and Republican Party signed it. Put it in, both of them are fired. Boom, done. Next. Yep. So what do you think I think? Well, what am I supposed to think? You know, this is not, and if you look at the World Economic Forum, yeah, Frank's still trying to, whatever he's doing. You know, the World Economic Forum and their plans, a lot of this is going to be, it'll be voting. There's going to be a universal, I remember during when they first started trying to do in the European Union and they needed to get the votes of Ireland and Great Britain, and the votes in Ireland were being counted in the Netherlands. What? They actually shipped a ballot. Oh, we got to go count them. What do you got to go count them? What kind of crap? And then when they lose, they do it again. You know, I'm like, what? So there is something much more fundamental and much more basic that's going to be happening here. It's going to be down, and that's why I'm looking for a vision from Trump. I need a vision. What do you say? Tell Ernie just to finish the show. We can talk later. Yeah, he's not having a good connection. So this is, we'll get some more Frank here directly. But I'm looking at this whole process not as an election or even a selection. It is an elimination of your voice. They don't want to know what you... They want to give you the illusion of choice. That's what the Matrix boiled down to. You know, it's like, you know, it's choice. They wouldn't... If you gave them a perfect world, if you gave... Which is what they're going to try and do. They kept waking up from it. They're, you know, humanity is, no, I want to have more autonomy, more freedom. I want to sleep in today. I want to, you know, whatever. You can't turn off your TV. The TV is on all the time. You know, citizen number blah blah blah, do your jumping jacks. I mean, you know, whatever it is, this collective mentality and the purpose of government is allow for the individual to pursue their own happiness based on whatever. If it doesn't bother you, or you care, you know, but that's not what's happening. This is an attack globally on what makes us human, what makes us men and women, what makes us families and communities. Because anything that's out of the norm, this is what, and I've noticed this for years, they take the edges of society, you know, those that live a different lifestyle, dress a little differently, do, you know, what, fine, you got one of those in each family, you know, a couple sitting at the Thanksgiving table, so what, you know, their family. But, you know, they don't want to be seen as, you know, not normal, or that you're not, so they have to, you know, reject the idea of anything being normal. Or just good, or beneficial, or preferable. No, no, you got brought up by a heterosexual married couple. How sad for you. You didn't have the diversity of having like two dads or something. I mean, this is the mindset. I'm not kidding. This is, you know, normal is not normal. Not normal. They want normal to be not normal. I why? Is there some benefit to that? No, it's just numbers. If you can take everybody on edges, create more edges, subject them to being edgy, and then put them in a voting block and say, this is how we're going to take over getting the streets from riot. But in the end, what is good, what is productive, what is beneficial to the rearing of children, to providing for the sustenance of a family, that always wins out. Because it always wins out. Because it's life. If it's not life, if it's not beneficial to keep breathing in and out, if it's not, you know, conducive to providing and having security, because I tell you, that's what the women want. This is, I mean, blah, 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 blah. I don't care how feminist you are and everything. You know, they got this feather my nest thing. You know, you got to have, you might be in an itty-bitty living space, but it better be a warm, comfortable bed. It better have some, you know, food in the cabinet. You better have some water to drink or, man, you know, things happen. And they're going to get to that, and what are they going to say? Pick us, and we'll take care of it for you. Pinky swear. And then when they don't, then what? There's a lot of dead bodies coming, because the only thing is that, you know, you they want to get rid of competition, right? And it's just numbers. There's so many of us, and half of the planet's not even on the internet yet. That's coming very quickly. And what do they not want them to see? The truth. And the truth is that you're not in charge of yourself. Somebody else is telling you what you can and can't do. You have to man and woman up and show that you can take care of yourself, take care of your family, take care of your community just by being productive and left alone. No, but you're not doing it right because you're not taking care of these fictitious manufactured poster people of something else out there. That's not your responsibility. How is that my responsibility? I got enough to worry about for me and my family and friends. And then you know what? That creates an environment for everybody to prosper. It's not about prosperity. It's about control. Everything, all of this, is control of the environment.